Markets digest election results from Turkey, Chinese economic growth, and America's disappearing inflation. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. European market players have the day off for this Easter Monday, but we industrious Americans were hard at work in early trading. For instance, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 0.4%, 75 points. The S&P 500 was up 0.2%. NASDAQ was up as well, again in early trading. To start the week, let's check in with economist Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So we have these results from the Turkish election. You think the market is paying some attention to this?
Sure. On the one hand, the results are not great for democracy, but it is good for stability. And so I think that that is a modest positive for the market.
And there was some economic growth data from China overnight.
Yep. China continues to run hot. No signs of fading in momentum there.
For GDP. But on Friday, a lot of people's heads were focused on the impending Easter. They may have missed something key. What was it on Friday?
We got some pretty interesting data in the U.S. on Friday. Core inflation data came in much weaker than expected. So lots of cooling in rental and college tuition. And this is good news for consumers. And it also means maybe that the Federal Reserve doesn't have to be quite as aggressive on interest rates. So that could also be feeding into some more positive market sentiment as we start the week.
All right. Economist Julia Coronado, Macro Policy Perspectives. Always good to talk to you.
Likewise.
United Airlines could be in for a boost today after its stock fell 2.6% last week, given the way it got the police to forcibly remove a passenger the airline wanted to bump. United's quarterly profit report is due after the market closes today. As we saw, United's been filling a lot of seats, so profits are expected to be strong. United Continental CEO Oscar Munoz briefs investment analysts tomorrow morning. There are financial numbers and there are human numbers. According to the Department of Housing and Urban Development, there are about 500,000 people across the country who are homeless on any given night. Who they are and where they are located is a key part of money to help people without shelter. Carla Green reports on how this kind of census works in Los Angeles.
This is Larry Dunn.
We're 63. Younger than you and you and you and you and you and you and you.
He's standing on a corner in Skid Row where he lives. That's the iconic neighborhood of downtown L.A. that's home to thousands of homeless people. And he's being interviewed for L.A. County's annual homeless count. In Los Angeles, last year's survey revealed a 55% increase in the number of homeless women over 2013. There are factors that could account for part of that spike, including better methodology. But Downtown Women's Center CEO Ann Miske says there are definitely more women on the streets.
We had an idea that the numbers had been increasing, but had no idea that it was quite that high, a rate increase.
That new data meant more cash for women's services. Miske says the Women's Center received a $2 million grant from the county health department. And that's not all.
For example, the city budget put some line items that specifically related to women. One was around trauma care, because women are the victims more than any other group of severe trauma, sexual, violent trauma.
And Miske says the new numbers and the influx of cash means they're hiring more staff. They started a new domestic violence program. Back out on the streets of L.A., Karen Lincoln says that's why the demographic survey matters. She's a USC researcher who led this year's homeless survey.
Well, it's important to get an understanding of, changes in the homeless population.
Lincoln says part of that process is adjusting the survey year by year. Like this new set of questions about domestic and sexual violence added after last year's spike in the number of homeless women.
Have you ever been forced, threatened, or pressured into performing a sexual act?
Homeless advocates are pushing for even more questions that they hope will illuminate a person's path to homelessness, to help organizations address the root of homelessness, as well as its symptoms. This year's survey results, including the new data on domestic violence, are expected to be published later this year. In Los Angeles, I'm Carla Green for Marketplace.
Now, it's a little like talking about alcohol the day after the bachelor or bachelorette party, on this day after Easter. Hair of the Dog That Bit You, a story about the chocolate market. Last year, some candy makers used less cocoa and more filler when cocoa prices ran high. Now prices are way down, due in part to a big crop in Africa, but that glut hurts farmers, as Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
cocoa is not like oil or gold. Those commodities come from lots of places. 70% of cocoa comes from West Africa, mostly Ivory Coast and Ghana. The supply can swing way up or down depending on political instability and weather there. James Butterfill is with ETF Securities.
So at times, you know, cocoa prices, annualized volatility can be as much as 20 to 25%.
This year, favorable weather in Ivory Coast is contributing to a surplus, and prices have fallen steeply. That forced the government to lower the price it guarantees cocoa farmers. Just this week, Ivory Coast and Ghana said they'll try to tackle price volatility by coordinating how much cocoa they produce and put on the market. Vincent Smith, an ag economist at Montana State University, is skeptical.
The ability to manage a global market on the part of two major producers is pretty difficult.
Smith says such an effort could compel farmers in other countries to ramp up their production. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
And the disappearing message company Snapchat's trying to tamp down a worldwide backlash after court documents were unsealed suggesting that a couple of years ago, Snapchat's CEO said he was uninterested in expanding into lower-income countries such as India. The alleged quote being repeated around the world has the CEO saying his app is only for rich people. Snapchat now has 4 million users in India and called the notion that it's not interested in poor countries, quote, ridiculous. The legal fight involves a former Snapchat employee who claims the company harmed his reputation. Snap stock was down a little under 1% in early trading today. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.